Daniel chapter 3, we're going to read verses 16 through 18. Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. The Bible says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Let's bow our head for prayer. Father, we thank you again for this day. Thank you that we're alive and that we're healthy enough to be here. And I thank you, Lord, that we have this place to come. Thank you for our church family, the fellowship we enjoy. Thank you for all the friendships throughout this congregation. And Lord, I thank you for people here that have a hunger in their heart for the Word of God, people that want to please you and honor you. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege that I have to be the pastor here at this church. And Lord, I do pray that you would continue to be with us and help us. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to always be striving to be closer to you than we are right now, closer than we'll be tomorrow. Every day desiring to be closer to you, always desiring to be more of the church that you would have us to be. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me as I try to preach this morning. Please put on my heart and my mind what you want said. Please give me the words, the liberty, clarity of thought and speech. And Lord, help us each one to have ears to hear and hearts to receive the message. And any decision that needs to be made, I pray, Lord, that we would make it for your honor and your glory. Thank you for everything you do. Thank you most of all for our salvation. Thank you for the Word of God, for your presence in our lives. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Daniel is one of my favorites from among the 66 books of the Bible. And for the most part, Daniel is a book of prophecy. As a matter of fact, Daniel is designated as a major prophet. I've mentioned to you before how that in the Old Testament we have major and minor prophets, not because of importance, but length. So because Daniel is a little longer, it is designated as a major prophet. And in his 12 chapters, Daniel prophesies about the Antichrist, the tribulation, the second advent, judgment to come, and many other very important subjects. But in the midst of his prophecies is recorded historical events or happenings that have inspired God's people from the time they were recorded even to present day. And one of these is right here in Daniel chapter 3, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the story of three Hebrew young men who were cast into a fiery furnace because they would not bow and worship an idol of gold. And what I want to do here in the next few minutes is use this true and very familiar story to preach a message that I have entitled, What If He Doesn't? What If He Doesn't? And there are really three main things that I want to point out from the verses we just read, verses 16 through 18, about these three men. And I'm just going to kind of touch on the first two briefly and then move on to the third, because that is really the main focus for the message today. And then I'm going to try to bring the whole thing to a close by helping us have the proper perspective about why God does or does not do certain things. But first of all, I want you to look with me here at verse number 16, and I want you to notice what I call their boldness. Their boldness. I'm talking about the boldness of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But really, to understand or better appreciate their boldness, you have to have a knowledge of what is recorded in the first 15 verses of this chapter. And I feel like most of you are familiar with the story. But in the beginning verses of this chapter, we read of how Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, made an image of gold. That's what it says back in verse number 1. It says there that its height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. That's about 90 feet tall and 3 feet wide. And the Bible says he set it up in the plain of Dur in the province of Babylon. And as you continue to read, you see that after he has this built and has it in place, he commands that all of the different people, the rulers from throughout the land, be gathered together. And he commands all of these people that whenever they hear an orchestra of music, whenever they hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, that's what you see in verse 5. When they hear this music, they are immediately, wherever they are and whatever they're doing, to stop, bow down, and worship the golden image. And whoever does not do this, according to verse number 6, will be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. That is the decree made by King Nebuchadnezzar. Well, as you read on in the story, you find that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these three Hebrew men, refused to bow and worship the golden image. And whenever Nebuchadnezzar finds out, he is enraged. You see that in verse number 13. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, he's inflamed with anger when he hears that these three men did not honor his command. So he has them brought in before him. They're brought into the presence of the king. And you see in verses 14 and 15 what he says. Look at verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? He asked him a question. Is what I've heard true? Do you refuse to worship my gods and to bow before the golden image? Look at verse 15. He goes on. Now if ye be ready, at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, he gives them another chance. He says, this is what I've heard, and if it's true, then I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to give you the opportunity right now to bow and worship. And if you do, then all will be forgiven. I won't hold anything in your past against you. Everything will be fine. We'll have no further trouble if you'll just bow and worship. He says, but if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of mine hands, or out of my hands? The implication that he's making here is that there is no God that can deliver you out of my hands. If you don't fall and you don't worship, you will be thrown into that fiery furnace, and there is no God that can deliver you out of my hands. That's what the man's saying to him. And how do these three men respond? That brings us to verse number 16, where we see their boldness. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. The word careful means full of care. That's a very simplistic way to define the term. But if you look at the word care and full, it means to be full of care. It means to be anxious, to be fearful, to be worried about things. That's the idea. And what they say is we are not careful. They don't say we are careful. They say we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. What they're saying in response to what he has said is, it doesn't bother us one bit to explain to you how we believe and where we stand on this matter. What you find is that those three boys were not in any way intimidated by the king's power or his promise to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. They were not intimidated in the least bit. And understand, these men here are not being cocky. They're not being arrogant. They're not even being disrespectful to what was a pagan, wicked king. They're not being in any way disrespectful to that man. These three men are being bold in their God, and they're unashamed and unafraid to tell him what they believed and where they stood on this matter. That's their boldness. I believe that those of us that name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ should have a holy boldness about ourselves. I think perhaps one reason why we see such a decline in the spiritual condition of our society and the spiritual condition of our churches and our homes across this land today is because of saved people that have become timid and afraid and ashamed and embarrassed to speak up and let people know where they stand and what they believe about the Word of God. God, help us as saved people to get some backbone about us. God, have mercy on our souls. Help us, Lord, is my prayer, to be more bold about what we believe. What really good does your belief about the Bible and the beliefs that you have about God do if you don't ever stand for those beliefs? What does it matter if you believe everything the Bible says if you never tell anybody? What does it matter if you never will take a stand in different situations and let people know? Listen, if it's good enough to believe, then it's good enough to stand for. And if I can't stand for it, I have no business believing that. No business at all. If I cannot stand on it, then I don't need to believe it. I believe what the Bible says. Do you believe what the Bible says? You and I should never be afraid to tell anybody. And again, I'm not talking about being cocky or arrogant. I'm not talking about being mean and rude and disrespectful. You don't have to be rude and disrespectful to stand for what you believe. And you and I that are saved, we have no reason to ever be timid. We don't ever, listen to me, we don't ever need to let this world intimidate us to the point that we keep our mouth shut and we compromise and refuse to stand for what is right. Don't ever need to let that happen. You see their boldness here. And I think this is increasingly important as we go along. Because so much, and y'all know it as well as I do, some of you probably even more knowledgeable about it than myself, but y'all pay attention to all the different stuff that's going on, and you know the different things that people are saying now and how people are doing everything they can to quieten down those of us that believe the Word of God so that we will not stand against all of the wickedness that's going on in this land now. They're trying to intimidate us, make threats, just like Nebuchadnezzar did. He makes a threat to them, and by the way, he was able to carry out his threat. But he makes a threat. If you don't bow down and do what I say, I'm going to throw you in that fiery furnace. And the world tries to intimidate us with threats. You speak up for Jesus, you're going to lose your job around here. You're going to get fired. If you're not politically correct, you'll lose your job. They put all these threats out there, these intimidation factors to try to get us to keep our mouths shut. And you know what so many of us are doing now? I mean, let's just be real about it. You know what so many of us are doing? We're keeping our mouths shut. That's what we're doing. We care more about our image, our reputation, our job, our money, whatever it is, than we do about pleasing God. And we let the world intimidate us to the point that we won't say a thing. You and I should have a holy boldness about us, just like these three men here. They're faced with a greater threat than I imagine anybody in here has ever been faced with. Maybe you've been told you'll lose your job or something along that lines, and I'm not minimizing the importance of that. But have you ever been in a situation like these three men? Where somebody said, if you speak up or you don't do what I say, you're going to die? None of us ever been there. So these guys were in a pickle far beyond anything we've ever been in, but what did they do? Did they let the king intimidate them? No, they stood their ground and they were bold and unashamed to speak up and let that man know where they stood. There should be some boldness in God's people. Number two, got to move on. Not only do I see their boldness, I see their belief in verse number 17. This is a great encouragement to me. They say this. They say, if it be so, what are they talking about? They're talking about getting thrown into that fire. And what they're saying is, if we go into the furnace, if that's what happens, if that's what you do, then our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. That's what they believe. They believe, hey, if you do what you say, if it works out that way and we wind up in the fiery furnace, we believe that even then our God is able to deliver us from that furnace. And they go on to say, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. That was their belief. Men of faith, their belief was our God is able. You believe that this morning? You believe your God's able? You and I should have that kind of faith. That no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, no matter the trial, no matter the tribulation, our God is able. Amen? We have an able God. He's not on disability this morning. He's not drawing a check for disability. He's able. He's able, according to the Bible, to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. That's what the Word of God says. He's able to subdue all things unto himself, the scripture says. He's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Our God is able to do whatever needs to be done. He can do it for you. He can do it for me. He can do it for any Christian. That was their belief. That should be our belief. But here's the third thing. I told you I wanted to move on to this point right here. And I hesitate to say this because of how it sounds, but hopefully to goodness, everybody in here is mature enough to accept what I'm fixing to say. Not only do I want you to see their boldness and their belief, but thirdly, I want you to see their butt. And I know that sounds funny, but I don't mean it like it sounds, okay? I mean B-U-T is what I'm talking about. Look at it in verse number 18. Verse number 18 begins with a conjunction, right? The word but. And this is what they go on to say. They say in verse 17, look, king, if it works out that we go in the furnace, we know our God's able to deliver us. And we believe that he will. We believe that he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Then they say, but if not. That's the title here. What if he doesn't? The title for the message. What if he doesn't? That's what they're saying. Look, we believe he's able, but if he doesn't, king, you need to understand this right now. Even if our God doesn't deliver us out of your hand, we still will not serve thy gods, and we will not worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Let me ask you a question this morning. I'm just going to slow it down here, but I want you to think about this because it's important. I assure you, if it hadn't already, at some point in your life, what I'm about to discuss will be applicable to you. What if he doesn't? Now, we just said that we believe our God is able to do whatever needs to be done in our lives. Amen? You still believe that? You said you did 4 or 5 minutes ago. You still believe that? You still believe that he can take care of any problem you have, any circumstance in your life or maybe in the life of somebody you know? You believe that? Here's a question. What if he doesn't? What if he doesn't? What if he doesn't do what he can do in your life, in your circumstance, in your situation, or in the life of somebody you know. What if he does? You say, well, I just believe he will. Well, that's good. You need to have that faith. But here is the reality that all of us better accept right now. We better stop living in a dream world, a fantasy world, something that's not in line with the Bible, and understand there are times when God does not do what he's able to do. There are times when he makes the choice in his sovereignty and in his wisdom and his knowledge to not do what he's able to do for us as well as others. What are you going to do if he doesn't? It's all right to believe. We need to believe. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. And those that come unto him must believe. So it's important that you believe. It's important that I believe. We should always believe that he's able. We should always believe that he can. But the question is, what if he doesn't? Whatever it is you're praying about, you understand this morning, he's able to take care of that. Can he? I don't know what all of us, the reality is that all of us have things we're praying about, things that are special to us, that mean a lot to us, whether it be concerning us or somebody else. But we have things right now we're praying about. And here's the good news. The good news is he's able to take care of whatever that is. But my question again is, what are you going to do if he doesn't? What are you going to do if he doesn't? What are you going to do if he doesn't handle the thing the way you want him to? If it doesn't turn out the way you're praying, what are you going to do then? What will be your response to that? If it's a family situation, maybe you're having problems with your husband or your wife or a child, and you're praying for God to fix that situation and make it better to where you have one big, happy, healthy family. Maybe that's what's going on. What if he doesn't? What if he doesn't? What if he doesn't ever fix your husband? What if he doesn't ever fix your wife? What if he doesn't ever bring that wayward child back? What are you going to do then? What if he doesn't? Maybe it's a financial problem. Maybe you're struggling financially. Been praying and praying. Hey, the Bible says that he owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. Amen. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. From the abundance of this earth and the storehouses of heaven, God can take care of any need we have. Amen. What if he doesn't? What if he doesn't ever fix your financial situation? He can. Maybe he will. But what if he doesn't? What about your health? You got something wrong with you? Got a health issue? Been praying for the healing of God in your life? Hey, it's wonderful to know that our God is able to heal somebody no matter what they have, right? He can. He can. But how many of us in here understand sometimes he doesn't? He doesn't. All of us in here are praying, I believe. All of us in here are praying that God would heal Brother George of that cancer and make him better. I believe he can. Even though the doctors have written him off and told him there's nothing else that they can do, I believe God's still able to heal that man. Question I have is, what if he doesn't? Because that could be reality. What if you get something on down the road? You probably will, by the way. You're probably going to get something somewhere. Something's going to get you. I don't know what's going to be. But something's going to show up somewhere down the road. And just like many people, you're going to pray and you're going to beg God to take it away, and he might. But what if he doesn't? What are you going to do then? He may not take it away. Or let me say it like this. He may not deliver you in the way you want him to deliver you. I believe if a person saved and knows the Lord Jesus Christ, death isn't a bad thing. But what I'm talking about is when you want him to heal you down here instead of taking you on to heaven, and he chooses not to take it away but to leave it. What you going to do then? What if he does it? Maybe it's some kind of emotional thing. I tell you something that's really ramping up and getting worse and worse, it seems like to me, is depression. So many people today going through emotional trauma, stress, and they're depressed. Get down low, get into some dark, dark valleys. He can bring you up out of any valley you're in, no matter how dark it is. What if he doesn't? What if he doesn't move that dark cloud back and let the sun shine bright in your life again? What if you have to struggle with depression for the rest of your life down here on this earth? What are you going to do? It's a possibility. Any trial, any tribulation, what if he doesn't? Let me ask you this. Will you still be faithful? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, look, if we go in that fire, we're not worried about it. We believe God's able to take care of us. We believe he's going to deliver us from your hand. But be it known unto you, King, if he doesn't, we're still going to be faithful to God. What if he doesn't? You still going to be faithful to the Lord? You still going to maintain your stand? You going to still brag about the goodness of God? Hey, folks, it doesn't take much faith, and I'm not trying to belittle anybody, but it doesn't take much faith to brag on God when everything's good in your life. Where faith is proven and seen to be real or phony is when you're in a valley in a dark time in your life and you're praying and everybody else is praying and you're asking God to do something, but he doesn't. That's when you find out if faith is real or not. Will you keep bragging on God? Will you maintain the same stand that you profess to have amongst believers? We all have a strong stand for God when we're around people at church, don't we? It's easy for us to stand amongst our brothers and sisters in the congregation and talk about what we believe and where we stand and how we're not going to compromise. But what about when things don't go the way you want them to go? Will you still have that stand? What if he doesn't? You say, would God actually not do something he's able to do? Well, I can think of several biblical instances which prove my point. I think about the Apostle Paul who was given a thorn in the flesh and prayed three times for God to take it away. Let me ask you, could God have taken that thorn away from that man? Did he? No. God was able to take it away, but he didn't. I think about the Apostle John. Could God have kept that man from being exiled to the Isle of Patmos? Could he? But he didn't. He let him go right on out there on that isle by himself. That's what he did. Let me ask you this. Could he have kept John the Baptist out of jail? Mm-hmm. Did he? No, he didn't. I take it a step further than that. Could he have kept John the Baptist's head on? Did he? No, he didn't. I'm telling you, according to the Bible, there's things that God's able to do that for whatever reason, sometimes he chooses not to do. Could he have kept James the apostle from being killed by Herod? Yes, he could have, but he didn't. What if he doesn't? I think about a fellow in the Bible that most all of us are very familiar with, and that's Job. Think of all the stuff that Job went through. God could have stopped every bit of that, but the truth of the matter is God's the one that allowed all that stuff to happen. He's the one that let the devil do all of these things in the life of Job. And in all that stuff, the Bible says that Job did not sin with his lips nor charge God foolishly. He fell down on the ground and worshiped, and at one point he said this. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even if he kills me, I'm still going to trust him. My question again, what if he doesn't? You still going to be faithful to the Lord? Whatever you're praying about now, if a week, 2 weeks, a month, a year from now, it doesn't turn out the way you pray and God doesn't do what you know he's able to do, you still going to be faithful like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You still going to be faithful like Job? You still going to be faithful like Paul who didn't get what he asked for? You still going to be faithful in your life? And I got to give you something here to help you with this. I'm out of time, but I want to try to help you have the proper perspective. Y'all still listening to me? I hope you are. because this is going to be beneficial to you somewhere along the way, I'm telling you. Number one, let me say this, proper perspective. God is not required to deliver us out of any situation. Maybe one reason why people don't handle it the way they should when things don't go the way they want is because they have a sense of entitlement, a feeling that God owes it to them to do whatever it is they want him to do. But according to the Bible, God is not required to deliver you out of any situation. Do you understand that truth this morning? You need to understand that. Number two, let me say this. God always has a reason for his decision. Sometimes we know it. We know it from the Bible. We know it from our own experiences. Sometimes God does what he's able to do, right? Sometimes he doesn't. Now you try figuring that out. What makes a difference? Why does he heal one person but doesn't heal another? Why? Can y'all answer that? Doesn't the Bible say that God's ways are past finding out? You and I will never, ever be able to fully understand why God does all the things that he does. But you and I, if we're honest, would admit we've noticed how God is in his dealings with people. And sometimes to us, if we're honest, and we might as well be, we don't think God's really being fair about things. Right? I mean, like I mentioned it a moment ago. You take somebody that's their body's riddled with cancer and they're dying and you're praying, God heal them, God heal them, God heal them. And you know what? Sometimes he does that. Then you and I know somebody else that we consider to be just as good a person, just as good a saint of God. They love Jesus Christ just as much. Maybe they even love the Lord more than the one that God has healed. But he doesn't heal them. Right? How you gonna figure that out? When some of you get the answer to that, come talk to me because I need that answer. I can't figure all that stuff out. This is what I do know. I know that he is a sovereign God who has a reason for everything he does. That's what I know. And that's what you have to hold on to. It helps you have the proper perspective if he doesn't do whatever it is you want him to do. And let me say this. In every situation, the number one reason why God does or does not do something in every situation, you ready for it? Is to bring himself glory. Here's where we get this thing all fouled up. We think God exists to satisfy us. Folks, God does not exist to satisfy you. God does not exist to meet your every whim and every desire. You and I exist to glorify God. That is why we are down here, and everything that God does, every decision he makes in my life, in your life, in anybody's life, number one above all is to bring glory to himself. That's number one. I'm going to give you a biblical illustration. Here's a fellow named Lazarus. Y'all turn in your Bible right now. If y'all want to get out, you better turn fast. Can y'all bear with me just a little bit this morning? An extra 5 or 10 minutes may mean the difference between you being faithful to God and you not being faithful to God when something goes on in your life and God doesn't handle it the way you want him to. It won't take but just a few more minutes. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Y'all remember the story of Lazarus, right? Let me ask you this. Could the Lord Jesus Christ have kept Lazarus from dying? Well, I tell you one better than that. He could have kept him from getting sick. But he didn't. He let him get sick. And not only did he let him get sick, but he let the man die. He let him die. Matter of fact, when he gets word that Lazarus is sick, you know what he does? Absolutely nothing. To start with, he just lingers where he's at. You say, why would God do that? Doesn't the Bible say right here, John chapter 11? Look at it. Verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Verse 3. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. You mean to tell me that the Lord would let somebody that he loves get sick? You see what I'm talking about? Our mindset, well, if he really loved me, this is where we go almost every time. If he really loved me, he wouldn't let this happen to me in my life. He wouldn't let me get sick. He wouldn't let me have a problem. He loved Lazarus and he let the man get sick. Not only did he let him get sick, he let the man die. But he loved him. Why would he do that? Look at verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. What he means, he doesn't mean he ain't going to die. He just means the whole purpose in this sickness is not death. There was a greater purpose than that. And here it is. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. You know why he let all that stuff happen and didn't prevent things that he could have prevented? To get glory for himself, that's why. And let me ask you this. What would bring greater glory to the Lord Jesus Christ? Him preventing the sickness or preventing the death or raising a man from the dead who'd been dead 4 days? What would bring him the most glory? Right. Whenever God does something or he doesn't do something, number one, it's for his glory, friend. Again, he's not here for us. We are here for him. And there are times when he doesn't do what he could do because not doing, listen to me, not doing what he's able to do will bring him in the long run more glory than him doing what he's able to do. Here's the second thing. Not only does he do it for his glory, but he does it for our good. Our good. But that's always secondary. Always secondary. He does have us in mind. And what he does or he chooses not to do is number one for his glory and number two for our good. Again, back to Paul. And I'm just about done, folks. Back to Paul with that thorn in the flesh. Paul is the one who said that that thing was the messenger of Satan to buffet him, right? But didn't he say in that same verse 2 different times that he was given that thorn in the flesh lest he should be exalted above measure? Isn't that what he said? In other words, the Lord let me get this thing to keep me humble. You know, from a spiritual perspective, the worst thing that God could have done for Paul was take that thorn out of his life. Folks, sometimes him not doing, y'all listening to me? Sometimes him not doing what he's able to do is what's best for us. Letting us go on through something. Not taking away something we want him to take away. Not fixing a problem that we want him to fix is sometimes the very best thing for us. Now in our mind, we see that our life will never be all that it needs to be as long as we got this problem. But we don't understand things the way God understands them. And we don't understand that if he takes that away or he changes that situation, that it's not going to help us. It's going to make us worse. How many times have you seen somebody get in a situation, think about it now, and beg God to take them out of it? Talk about, oh, Lord, if you'll get me out of this, Lord, if you'll help me, Lord, if you'll do this, I'll serve you all the days of my life. And they'll make all these promises to God. And God, in his mercy, will swoop in, and he'll take that problem out of their life, and they won't last a month, and they're back out in the world serving the devil. Sometimes the very best thing for you is God just to simply not do what he's able to do. He might, by not doing it, may be keeping you from ruining your life. That may be what he's doing. Here's the last thing, and I'm all done. Talking about a proper perspective. God is not required to deliver us. God is always has a reason for his decision. And last of all, God is always right. in what he does. He's always right. The question is asked, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? You better believe he will. He is righteous in all his ways. Even when I can't figure it out, even when it seems like he's not right, he is always right. What you have to cling to when you asking him to do something and he doesn't do it, and he may not, when he does it, you have to cling to the fact that there's something bigger going on than what you can comprehend. There's something going on here that God knows, you don't know, you can't see it, you can't figure it out, but you have to trust that he knows what's going on, and he always will do the right thing. Then you can be faithful. You can say like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, King, you just go on and do whatever you want. And if this is how it turns out, all right, we are going to be faithful to God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church. Thank you for the truth of the Bible. Lord, I pray you'd help each one of us here this morning to accept the truth. Lord, maybe right now there's nothing major going on in our lives. Maybe everything's good. Thank God for those times. Somewhere down the road, things are going to change. And there may be a time when you don't do what we want you to do. May be a time when you don't do what you're able. Lord, help us then to remember this message. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.